All right, our scripture today comes from the first chapter of Mark, the short little gospel, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What is a baptism anyway? It is something that I struggle with every time this comes around and every time the subject of baptism comes around, because I, above everything else, I'm what's called ecumenical. Anybody want to take a shot at what that means? Essentially, it means that if Christians don't stick together, they're lost. And we're going to end up pointing fingers as we're sent out of town. So baptism gives me pause because it's something that we don't agree on very well, and it actually causes divisions. When I was in school, I didn't go to a Methodist-only seminary. I went to a seminary that was Methodist, but I had Catholic Old Testament professor. I had a Catholic theology professor. I had one of those crazy Presbyterians for a preaching professor. My wife's Presbyterian. Was Presbyterian. And my dad was a Lutheran. And I came to understand that there were differences. So what was fun to do was to find out what we did agree on and where we were coming from. What we'd agreed on is that baptism is necessary, and to have a valid baptism, you have to have someone ordained for the sacrament. You got to have water. You got to invite the Holy Spirit in. You got to bless the person in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there has to be another believer there to witness it. That's where the idea of godparents come from, to be a witness to what has happened. But then things start to fall apart, because at the essence of what is happening there, we have a fundamental disagreement. And the fundamental disagreement has to do with who is doing what. If you are a Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, you believe that the Holy Spirit is claiming the person. If you're a Baptist, Assembly of God, adult baptism person, you believe that the person is claiming the Holy Spirit. And that's where all the problems come from. How then does that happen? What is going on? Who's doing what and when? Well, it turns out that there's problems both ways, because anytime you try to make something from God, human, you screw it up. Every denomination has its foibles and its wrinkles because we're trying to do something godly in a human way. So, in the Baptist understanding, the person has to be willing and trying to be connected to the Holy Spirit. The problem with that is that what do you do with the person until they're ready? And they say, well, they're innocent. Has anybody ever worked with middle school kids? How many innocent people are in a middle school? All of them are innocent, but they're all fallen, aren't they? So there is this fallen from grace and not redeemed yet that the Baptists struggle with. They don't know what to do with it. They rely on the grace of God is what I'm often hearing, which is good because that's what we all end up doing in the end anyway. In the infant baptism understanding, we have different rites. We baptize a child, and then on their confirmation, they reclaim their baptism, and they make it their own. Baptists put both of them together. Some Baptist denominations rebaptize when you think you need it again, which I again find problematic, because if the Holy Spirit is the one acting, are you saying the Holy Spirit failed or wore off? Or how do you do that? Because in Ephesians it says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, because there is one body and one Spirit and one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God and Father of us all. See, in our understanding of theology is if you fall away, you come to communion to reconnect with God. You don't come and be rebaptized. I don't like a lot of this because it tends to work us toward being separate. But the thing that really bothers me more about this than anything else is if baptism is to cover original sin, reconnect, be claimed by God, why is Jesus being baptized? What do you guys think? Does Jesus need to be baptized? No. Jesus doesn't have original sin. Jesus doesn't have active sin. Jesus doesn't have a broken relationship with God that needs to be fixed. Why is Jesus being baptized? That's a really difficult question, something we kind of struggle with. But one of the things that I take solace in is I don't have to perfectly understand it. I just have to have a clue. Jesus did not come down from heaven because he needed to. Jesus came down from heaven because we needed him. That makes sense? So what Jesus came to the Jordan River to be baptized, he was doing something. One of the other gospels says that John says, hold on, I think maybe you should baptize me. And Jesus said, let's just do it this way to fulfill all righteousness. No idea what that meant. But in the moment that is said, I think I get a glimmer of what he is trying to share with us. He's trying to model the behavior we're supposed to do. He didn't come down to see what it was like to be human. He came down to show us that he knew what it was like to be human and to model how things were to be. If Jesus is humble enough to submit himself to baptism and admit that he needs a relationship with God, even though it wasn't broken from the beginning, maybe that's what he was trying to tell us. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to God. You need to restore a relationship that's broken because we're stubborn. We like our own way. We fall short of the glory of God. And when we admit that we fall short of the glory of God, God has a way to restore us. It says, I forgive you. I want you to come back and be part of me, be with me again. And if you will surrender yourself, allow yourself to be baptized, I will restore that relationship. If you're feeling far away from me, you can come to the communion table. And I will again come to live within you. If you want to be part of the body of Christ, you can come into confirmation and membership. In that moment, we are restored. Timothy Keller is a pastor in New York City, Redeemer Church, Manhattan. And he says, our entire life is spent trying to get it right and trying to get back home. Ever since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and having fellowship with God, we have been working our way to restore that and come back to that. We continue to fall away because the world yells to us, calls to us, makes flashing lights and pretty sounds to lead us astray. And God calls us in simple things. A loaf of bread, a simple cup, a handful of water, and a blessing that says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be restored to that relationship with God that was intended for you from the beginning. This was such an important idea and such a focal thing that Jesus himself came to be baptized to model for us the sort of surrender we're supposed to have. I still struggle with the fact that the act of submission and the act of surrender and the act of being restored is something that divides us as Christians. But in the example of Jesus Christ coming forward to do so, I see the hope of restoration. In a world that seems lost, I give thanks that the things that the world is hungering and thirsting for are right there in Jesus. Do you want forgiveness? It's here for you 24 hours a day. Do you want to be restored and strengthened? It's here 24 hours a day. Do you want something to believe in when everything seems to be falling apart? He's here 24 hours a day. Are you concerned that you don't deserve it or can't earn it? You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but it's yours anyway. 24 hours a day. People, the world out there is desperate for what we already have. We have to offer ourselves as signposts. People who give direction. People who can lead others home. I think that's why Jesus came to the Jordan River. To model for us what's done. When you offer yourself in surrender, others can see the way home. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks for the example that you give us, for the way in which you model what we're supposed to do, even though you did not need to. We pray only that your example and your presence will give us the strength and power to lay down our lives, to show our own humility, and to lead us back, that others might see the way back as well. Because what the world desperately needs is you. And all God's people said,